Chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians says, "For the preaching or the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The cross undercuts pride. The cross tells everybody, you can't make it on your own. The cross says that if you're rich, you don't have a leg up. If you're powerful, you don't have a leg up. If you're connected, you don't have a leg up. If you have a doctorate, you don't have a leg up. That everybody has to come the same way and humble themselves before the cross. The cross strikes right at the heart of our pride because our pride says we can do this. Our pride says that we ought to be good enough. We ought to be able to work hard enough. We ought to be able to earn this. But the cross says you can't. The cross says there's nothing you can do to gain this. See, the cross tells us how serious sin really is. Most people today don't want to face the fact they're sinful. We looked a little bit about this last week when I preached about from the prophets. Most people, if you confront them with the fact they're sinners, will be offended by you. They'll probably call you narrow-minded. They'll probably call you old-fashioned. They'll probably call you bigoted or a host of other names, but they certainly won't thank you. We have so defined deviancy downward that now there's no such thing anymore as sin. It takes a whole lot to shock. But the cross tells us that God's standard is different. The cross tells us that sin is so heinous, so serious, that it requires the ultimate sacrifice. The cross undercuts our pride. It undercuts our intellect. It undercuts our efforts. It knocks them out from underneath us and says the only way in is by humbling yourselves before the cross. And the world, many people here in the world don't want to hear that. I was doing some surfing on the net looking at some news, and I guess the atheists are into a new myth. If you were here for Christmas Eve, I showed you how they believe Christmas is a myth. Now they're pushing the resurrection is a myth. He died for your sins, and the big poster, it's a myth. The cross says it's not a myth. The cross took place in space and time. The cross is documented in history. Real time, real people. A real Pontius Pilate who lived. A real Pontius Pilate who put Jesus to death. A real Jesus who died on the cross. So the cross, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, strikes at the heart of our intellect, strikes at the heart of our pride, strikes at the heart of our works. But what it tells us is that the cross does something for us. And I just, finishing up, want to look at two major things to have you walk out of here with this, and why I'm emphasizing the cross. The cross is where sin's penalty was paid. The reason Jesus died is because humanity had accumulated debt known as sin. Every human being from Adam and Eve on, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of those sacrifices in the Old Testament were to get people ready to accept the fact that sin has a consequence to it, that sin costs. Those sacrifices, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, were to drive home the truth that God is a holy God and that sin will cost you. But when Jesus died on the cross, one of the seven sayings of Jesus that are recorded in the Bible is the phrase, "It is finished." And it's a term that, in the language that the Bible is written in the New Testament, means paid in full. That up until that time, every sin you committed, every sin I committed, was never fully washed away. It was just, in all of humanity, it was just moved ahead one more year. The loan payment, the balloon payment that was due, just got moved up a year, moved up a year, moved up a year. But as long as that payment was not paid, then the accuser of the brethren, the devil, had the right to accuse you before God the Father, because the sins had never been paid for. But on that day, on that moment, when Jesus Christ became the ultimate sin offering, when Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb, when Jesus Christ became the atonement on that scapegoat, that upon which all of our sins were placed, no longer did they get pushed ahead anymore. They were paid in full. And that phrase, some of you already know this, but I'm going to repeat it for those who don't, that in the first century, when a debtor accumulated too much debt and that debtor could not pay that debt back, that debtor could not just claim bankruptcy. That debtor was thrown into a debtor's prison. And outside that debtor's prisoner cell, there would be a list posted of all of the debts that person owed. Their children would be sold into slavery, their wife would be sold into slavery, and all of the debts would be listed. And that person would stay there until those debts could be paid off. But when that final debt was paid off for that individual, then the officers would then put the stamp on that placard, and that stamp would say, "It is finished, paid in full." And so when Jesus hung on that cross, it says that he shouted a great cry as he hung there with his last, second to the last gasping breath, pulls himself up on that cross just long enough to take that breath of air and shouts, "Paid in full." And on that moment, every sin past, every sin present, and every sin future got paid in full. Which means there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You made your way out here to a Good Friday service for a reason. I hope one of those is to hear the good news that if you have repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you are forgiven. Which means if you're walking around having asked God to forgive you with a cloud of guilt, I can tell you that guilt is not conviction from God. It is condemnation from the enemy that you no longer have to receive. Prior to the cross, it was yours. Following the cross, it is no longer yours. You are freed from the sin, the penalty of sin. He took your death so that you can know his life. It's one of the reasons we need the cross. Nothing else gets the stain out. The market basket, laundry basket, whatever they call it, at the top of the hill below Best Western, you can bring all your sinful laundry there. They cannot get that sin out. You could take it over to Mark Cleaners and ask them to get that stain out, and they'll have to tell you, "I'm sorry, I put a little sticker on it. I'm sorry, we couldn't get that stain out." Because humans can't get the stain out, but the blood of Jesus can and does. So if you're living today, you're living tonight with that overwhelming sense of, I'm not good enough, that shoulda, woulda, coulda, I want you right now just to claim that freedom and forgiveness that is yours in Christ. Anything that you have done that has not glorified God, that you've repented of, that is forgiven in Jesus' name. But folks, that's not all that took place at the cross. That would be enough. We could walk out of here saying, man, thank God for the cross. Thank God we're forgiven. We're good. But I want you to know that the cross was way more than just a bar of soap that makes you clean. That the cross was more than just spiritual whisk that gets the stain out and gets rid of ring around the collar. That the cross didn't just deal with your past, freeing you from the penalty of sin. Secondly, it frees you from the power of sin. That when Jesus died on the cross, Paul says, I died with him. Knowing this, that the power of sin has been rendered powerless in our lives, Paul said. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, that the power of sin might be rendered powerless, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir, came out here, and I know you've heard me say it again and again, but I pray and have prayed for you that somehow God would drive the truth home that when Jesus died on the cross, you didn't just get your sin paid for, you got the power of sin broken in your life, that it no longer has to be your master. It no longer has to dominate you. You and I can live a holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did on the cross. That you and I can walk free. Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For sin shall not be your master, for you're not under law, but under grace. Sometimes when I pastor, I hear people come to me just chatting with me or in counseling, and they'll tell me, I can't. I've struggled with this, and I can't stop. Or, you know, this is something I've had for so long, I just can't. I just don't see even God able to set me free. Can I tell you some good news? The cross was the power to set you free. The cross was the power that God brought, the penalty paid for, the power broken, that you do not have to live with despair. You do not have to live with habits that keep you down. You do not have to live with chains on your hands and chains on your feet. You do not have to live bound when Jesus Christ died to set you free. That is freedom he purchased for you. And if you have not yet stepped into your birthright, tonight can be a change, a transforming night for you. Tonight can be a night where God gets a hold of your heart and you begin to realize you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That yes, you used to follow the ways of the world. You used to be in bondage to those things, but he has lifted you up and by his grace has raised you up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are set free by the power of God, evidenced at the cross. It was the cross. It is not you trying harder. It is not you praying harder. It is not you running to the altar faster. It is not you memorizing more scriptures. It is not you fasting harder. It is the cross. It is Christ plus your believing that sets you free, not Christ plus your achieving. It is not about you. It is about him. It is about the cross. And it's about time as a church, the church of Jesus Christ, that we once again reemphasize the power of the cross. Because if we don't, then all we're doing is giving people a few self-help principles that don't work. It'll make them feel good in the short term, but it will not change them in the long term. It will keep them trapped and stuck in broken patterns of dysfunction and sin. We need way more than just, here's a few easy principles to get rich with God. Here's a few easy principles to have joy. What we need to do is come back to the cross because that is where it was accomplished. That's where the purchase was made. That's where the price was paid. And that's where our freedom flows from, is the cross. You cannot have a crossless Christianity and call it Christianity. You cannot have a victorious life and have a crossless Christianity. You will not achieve. You will not succeed. You will never walk in the victory that God purchased for you in your own power and strength, only through the power of the cross. No wonder Paul said, "I glory in the cross." And as long as God gives me breath as preacher at Calvary Assembly, you will hear about the cross. You will not have to come wondering, is he going soft on the cross? The cross is the only thing we've got to depend on to get us through. By God's Spirit, that cross, and we will preach it, we will teach it, we will emphasize it, we will show it, and do whatever we have to point you back to the cross. Because I can tell you this, Ray Richards ain't saving no one. You can come to me from counseling till the cows come home. I ain't rescuing anybody. But Jesus has, can, and does. It's the cross. The cross. So if you sit here tonight and you're thinking, is that why I've been stuck? Could be. Hear then the message of the cross. It is foolishness to the world, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so if you've been stuck, as we close in prayer, I want to challenge you to take hold of those lies that you believe that says as this is the way you've always been and this is the way you's always going to be. And I want you to lay hold of the cross and say, Jesus, this is what I was, but I'm on the cross and I believe for what you're going to make me to be and the destiny you've given me in Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, I don't want to get to the end of my days and say, well, Lord, I tried. Sorry. I want to get to the end of my days and say, thank you, Jesus, for the victory that was yours, that you let me enjoy through Christ. And I get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, it just seems crazy in our fleshly minds how a crucifixion, a horrible death, could make all the difference in the world. But we don't just look at it through fleshly intellect. We look at it through faith. That it is through faith we understand that at that point in time, Jesus' death rewrote history. It was the pivot point that changed history from one of sin and death to one of life and hope. It was the pivot point that took a world in chaos out of control and began to right everything, heading us towards a new heavens and a new earth. It was at that point where the world saw the weakness and the foolishness of God, so they thought. But it was at that place where all of humanity's sins were laid on your Son. And this perfect God-man, fully God, fully human, absorbed the payment that we owed. In the fullness of his humanity, he suffered like no human being has suffered. And he bore our sin. I thank you. We thank you. And we pray that we would never stray from the centrality of the cross. That cross would be what we'd hold to for forgiveness of sins, where our sins were paid, and that we'd hold on to that cross because that's where the power of sin was broken. That we would not slip and slide away towards a self-help, a trying harder to be gooder, but that we'd come back to the cross and, like Paul, acknowledge and glory in the cross. That with Paul, we'd be able to declare, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Lord, I finish by praying that those here who have been bound to the past, knowing their sins are forgiven, but not yet knowing sin's power has been broken, we pray, God, for an unleashing of your Holy Spirit to bring truth. That people would be able to grasp through the power and presence of your Spirit the victory that was won at the cross. And that, Lord, your people that have walked in defeat would begin to walk in victory. Your people that have been walking in despair would begin walking in hope. Your people that have been pressed in by death would begin to walk in life because of what you've done at the cross. For I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.